Salutations and shit, folks. Welcome back to another episode of your favorite travel podcast, Travel and Shit, where I, your host, D. Carrie, have an experiential conversation about the nuanced ways that travel intersects with regular life. So this week I was on the tail end of awards season. Yes, I am sick. Thankfully, it's just cold. It's not COVID. Taking that test. I feel like shit. So I did not rabbit hole as much as I initially thought I would. But on the heels of all of these award shows, I was reminded for some reason, I kept coming back to, I want to say it was from the Emmys, Kiki Palmer winning for Best Game Show Host. And I'm like, what game show does she host? And I don't remember what game show she hosts, but it got me to thinking about game shows. There was something else that happened over the last 2 weeks. And so here we are, game shows around the world. So to begin, I found out that a lot of the popular shows that we have in the United States are basically spinoffs. They were popular in other countries and then America decided to do a version of. The most popular countries that some of our popular shows have come from, most notably United Kingdom. Then we had Netherlands, Japan, and then a couple of honorable mentions for some of the shows were Denmark, Israel, and South Korea. So in the United Kingdom, there was Cash Cab. I did not know Cash Cab was a UK show, but Cash Cab is from there. That was a show popular like in the early 2000s, a good fucking time. And it was honestly funny enough story, and oddly enough, this is funny. So Cash Cab, basically you ended up getting into a cab and you were on a game show. So you had to answer trivia questions or true or false. I don't remember what type of questions, but I want to say they were mostly trivia questions, and you had to answer the questions while you were in the cab ride. And I feel like if you got enough wrong, you had to get out where you were. Funny enough, my boyfriend and his brother were someplace in the city, and very New Yorkers. Somebody stopped and was like, hey, real quick, we got a quick question for you. And initially they was just like, fuck out of here. We like, who are you? And they were like, no. Just quick question. Multiple choice. And they were on Cash Cab. Like, so boyfriend and his brother weren't contestants on Cash Cab, but they were, cause you had like a lifeline. You could ask somebody, to help you with a question, I think at some point. And so they were asked a question, and he doesn't remember the question, but he was saying that he basically told them, like, listen, when in doubt, just like go down the middle. That's the best I could do for you, because unfortunately, I don't know what this answer is going to be. And so they were like, all right, fuck it. They went with it and they got it right. So that was a cool little story. But Cash Cab was initially a UK show that ended up with an American remake, if you will. There were also, The Cube. Also a UK remake hosted by Dwayne Wade. Did not know that man had a game show, but that's a more recent one, I'd say, like in the 2020s of it all. This one was interesting. So the American version is Hypnotize Me, and the UK version is You're Back in the Room. Tay Diggs hosts that, and people would compete and do, what do you call it? Like games or stuff after being hypnotized. I'm good on that. What else do I have on here? Hell's Kitchen, another UK remake. Dancing with the Stars is actually a spinoff of Strictly Come Dancing. I don't know if y'all remember The Weakest Link, but it's an American spinoff of The Weakest Link. In America, apparently, it's just called Weakest Link, but I've always called it The Weakest Link. Jane Lynch, I think she's hilarious. She is the host that I remember from that show. That was another fun one in the early 2000s. And then American Idol is actually a UK spinoff of a show called Pop Idol. That I didn't know. The next area we got the most games from was the Netherlands. And I did not know that The Voice was actually a spinoff of The Voice of Holland. Now, I love a good cover song. And so I tend to go down YouTube rabbit holes where I'll just listen to a bunch of covers from different singers and shit. And a lot of them tend to be on those types of shows. And I'm getting to it, but I think that there is a difference between, there is a hierarchy of game shows to me. So I had The Voice, and then there's Deal or No Deal is actually from a show in the Netherlands. And there are a lot of consonants, a couple of vowels sprinkled in here. Miljoenenjack, from the Netherlands. But Deal or No Deal is actually a spinoff. Thank you for introducing us to Meghan Markle. Big Brother is also a spinoff from Big Brother in the Netherlands, as well as Fear Factor. Fear Factor was also from the Netherlands. Another country with a lot of popular shows that we've redone, Japan. American Ninja Warrior is a spinoff of Sasuke. I had no idea that America's Funniest Home Videos, first of all, I don't think it's a game show, but it is a remake of Fun TV with Kato-chan and Ken-chan. Had no clue. And I used to watch the shit out of that show. And I feel like I only watched it at my grandparents' house, but I feel like we had to have watched it at our house also. But I specifically remember watching it the most at my grandparents' house. But we watched it when Bob Saget used to host the show, not with Antonio Ribeiro, Carlson, but I don't feel like, I haven't watched it in years, but I had no idea it was a remake, and Iron Chef America, which I always just knew as Iron Chef, but I live in America, is a remake of Iron Chef from Japan. Did not know that also was a remake. Honorable mentions, we've got Fear Factor. Didn't I mention that already? I did. But there is a show from Denmark. Okay, well, it makes sense because Denmark, the Netherlands. But a show there now or Neverland was also another name of the show in that area that Fear Factor originated from. Israel, The Four. Battle for Stardom is a spinoff of an Israeli show, The Final Four. That's another show that I've seen a ton of my covers. Like when I go down my cover rabbit hole, a lot of the singers are on that show also. And from South Korea, The Masked Singer is a spinoff of King of Masked Singer from South Korea. And that one we know is hosted by Nick Cannon. So to me, I think that there is a hierarchy to game shows. I personally don't think that something like a show like Big Brother or a show like The Amazing Race, which my grandparents used to love The Amazing Race. We would always end up watching it. Because that was their jam. So we ended up watching their programs with them. But same with Big Brother. They used to watch the shit out of that show also. They, to me, are not game shows. I personally believe, now granted, because I looked this one up also, but a game show technically is a genre of broadcast viewing entertainment where contestants compete for rewards. That's it. So Big Brother is a game show. But I don't think that that falls under the game show umbrella. To me, it falls under the reality show umbrella, but I feel like maybe there should be a separate umbrella or a different category of umbrella for the combination of a reality show and a game show. There's likely a name already for it, but I didn't come across that. Also included in that definition are the shows are typically directed by a host who explains the rules of the game, as well as commentating and narrating when necessary. The history of the game show dates back to the late 1930s, when both radio and television game shows were broadcast. Genre became popular in the United States in the 1950s, becoming a regular feature on daytime television. So, we good old Americans. There's a sneeze like right here, and that is uber frustrating. But so another thing about like the conflating or the combination, those layers to the game show, if you will, right? There's also shows like Sábado Gigante. I am very familiar with the show. However, I've never watched the show. I don't speak fluent Spanish. So it was always something that like you flip through the channels, and as a New York, you've heard people talk about watching it, or you've heard references to it in other shows or in movies, but I never got into it. I had no idea. The shit was 3 hours fucking long. It's a long ass fucking show. And not only is it a long ass show, check this out. So it's Univision's longest running program and the longest running television variety series in world television history. That is wild to me. And on top of that, not only is it the longest running in television history, a new episode was produced every week throughout the show's history with no reruns. And the only time they had a rerun is when there were like some type of programming necessities for, what did they mention here? It's all in Spanish. And I know it's right here. Well, for those of you that don't know, it is an eclectic mix of various contests, human interest stories, and live entertainment. It started in 1962, and it is originally a Chilean show. I want to say that's where the first, Chile. And it was hosted from the start by Chilean TV star Mario Kreutzberger, under his stage name of Don Francisco. He had a couple of co-hosts, and it was a 3-hour program, and it aired every Saturday at 8 p.m. or 7 p.m. from 87 to 2021. So yeah, the time changed at some point. And here it is. A new episode was produced every week throughout the show's history with no reruns and only rare, God, the font is so small and far away, preemptions due to special programming, most notably by Telethon USA. And well, so the host used to do a December like 24-hour telethon, and he had hosted that from 2012. So that was the only time that there may have been an adjustment in programming. That is a large undertaking, especially for a 3-hour fucking show, y'all. Wild to me, absolutely wild. But that was really, really like the longest running television variety series in world history. Is I wonder if that man is still alive. He's got 53 fucking seasons, my god. Okay, so it says country of origin, Chile, from 1962 to 1992, and then United States, 1986 to 2015. But alongside the longest running variety series, which there were like, so I'm going to include a clip from an episode. It's the 3-hour YouTube episode. But if you like just skim through it, Selena performed on the show. So they would have live music performances. There was crowd interactions. Like everybody in the crowd had like name tags. They would like give away different prizes. There was like little jingles and shit and like dances that people in the audience like all knew that they would like stand up and do. Like somebody would stand up and do it. Like for example, when Wendy would go into the audience and talk to somebody in the audience or have them reenact something or answer some questions and shit like that. So it was giving that kind of talk show energy to me, where they do a little something or have somebody in the audience do a little ditty and then they give them like a prize. And then they had actual like game shows in the like on stage. And so there were like props and all that other kind of stuff. So again, a variety show, a lot of, human interest stories. There was a segment, it looked relatively long for the program. There was one that had like a bunch of kids. There were kids that were talking on the show, and then there was just like, you know, footage from other areas. And there was another aspect of the show that showed footage from, let's just assume maybe someplace in Chile, but something more of a rural region, just speaking to people in that area about something. I don't know. It's in Spanish. Excuse me, but the show had a lot going on. And so you had the aspect of the game show, but then you had the aspect of like the human interest, right? And so I think that that kind of like is, I won't say the beginning, but to me, it is just kind of like, okay, so there's more to just the playing. People seem to care about the contestants, right? And then open the door for Big Brothers and The Amazing Race. And there are prizes in those, and that's like the staple part of a game show. But to me, I think a game show is something like The Price is Right, where you just show up, you play, and you go the fuck home. None of the episodes have anything to do with each other. The contestants never repeat. At least I won't say never. Family Feud, you're not going to have the same family come back. Like, you win at the end. Like, once that episode is done, you win. Now, if they decide to do like a spinoff or something becomes a franchise, and then they want to do like, you know, what do you call it? Not a reunion show, but like a show when the people come and you have all the winners. Sorry, y'all. Like all the winners from like different seasons or episodes. Like if something like that were to happen, that's a different story. But the storyline to those elongated shows. And that's, I think, going to be another episode, because I do enjoy, we just got into a couple of different shows. Like, what did we start watching? We started, oddly enough, watching, I think it's on Peacock, Couple to Thruple. And something about one of the couples looks so familiar, and I can't place it. I don't know if they're familiar from another show, or is it like some kind of social media thing? I never bothered to look them up to see if I could find them anywhere else. But we started watching that, and they're, is a prize at the end, but I don't remember what the prize is. I think it's like $100,000 or something, because we watched a couple of episodes that were live and then just like gave it up. And there was something else that we watched. Was it? It's one of those. Love Island. And then we watched Love Island, which again, technically a game show, right? But like you're stuck. Like you show up, there's production. Well, game shows have production also. And what's cool about it is something like certain shows where you have that aspect of being there for a longer time, obviously have more of the travel lens surrounding it, if you will, because you are being removed from your normal, like your typical train of thought or your typical environment is different. You are generally like removed from the outside world. You don't have the cell phones. You don't have access to the people that you know and love. And that's like a fun way to incorporate parts of the game where you have like the families or the friends of some of these contestants show up at some point in the game. I know that was part of Love Island, but imagine being a 20 something. And I gotta say, I was very surprised. Now, mind you, that could just be the first season. I haven't watched any other seasons, but I'm tempted to try watching Love is Blind just because of all the conversation that's happening right now. But I want to know, do I need to, but am I better off watching at least season one and then watching season six? Like, am I missing any context by skipping the first season or an earlier season? Because I've never seen any of it. And I can't say I felt compelled to watch prior. But again, all this commentary about these most recent contestants is intriguing to me. But I find that there is a difference to those types of shows. One, because you're there for a longer period of time. You're establishing relationships. You are building a rapport with the rest of the people that are on the show with you, separate from the people that you play on your typical game shows, which I'm going to get into more of those. But those longer term game shows, you are going to a different place. You are immersing yourself into a new life for a temporary amount of time based on whatever your goal is for that time, whether they be so shit like College Hill. That was even a, like, technically that's a game show also. You have these people leave their homes, they leave their families behind. And I think that adds another battery in the back for, you know, now, not to say that people don't travel for like Price is Right, because so let's just dive into the Price is Right. The Price is Right is the longest running game show in television history. That shit has been on for over 60 years. So let me open up this one. So fun about Price is Right. Where is it? Bob Barker. At more than six decades on air, The Price is Right currently holds the record for the longest running game show of all time. It had an original 9-year run from 1956 to 1965. Add to that the current version of the show that has been airing since 1972. The Price is Right has been on the air far longer than most television shows, regardless of genre. The Price is Right is always full of overly enthusiastic contestants who play a wide variety of mini games revolving around modern day commerce. I personally always watched it with my grandparents. This is, I don't think I've ever watched it like with my parents, but it's always been with my grandparents. And I feel like that is just a very, I won't say that it's like just a Black American thing, but a very American thing. Like, you spend time with your grandparents and you end up watching their programs, whether it be their stories, whether it be their game shows, their talk shows. But I specifically remember those types, except for stories. Like, I remember watching stories with my grandma, but I actually remember watching, like being engaged with the storyline of the stories. Maybe that's another episode we'll do, soap operas around the world. But I used to enjoy watching Days of Our Lives with my mom, because she was actually, she watched it because of her grandma. And so I watched it because I had no other choice. And it was also like at a certain age, like it's fun watching TV with your mom. And so we would watch Days of Our Lives, and my mom would every once in a while try to explain some of the storylines to me. But my grandma didn't do that. So it was just like, okay, it's just on when my grandma would watch stories, or when my mom would watch stories. It felt like something that we actually did together. So, hey girl, didn't know if you knew that, but Days of Our Lives was a good time. And then those who were there, the real girls, okay, we remember Passions. We remember Passions, and it was like a brand new soap opera that started when I was in high school. So it may have started in like 99. And it was so, it felt so good to say that you started watching a soap opera series from the beginning. Passions is now no longer. I don't know how long they stayed on. And we are not talking about soap operas, but we are now. So Passions was on for mad long. We started watching that. And that was one of those things that I used to enjoy and felt like we are the originators. We are the beginners. And the shit ain't there. A lot of those characters then ended up going to other stories. But alas, watching shit with your grandparents. Bob Barker is one of those game show hosts that I personally wanted to meet. I always had such a like a little personal dilemma, because I wanted to be one of Barker's beauties, which were like the pretty girls on the show that would just like, you just want a new car. And then you would just stand there and be pretty and point to it and smile and do the funny little, quirky little shimmies or whatever, and pointing to the things or moving the price tag, or, you know, just you were the helper. I always wanted to be one of Bob's Barkers, and I would practice doing the little moves and like the pointing and the new car reveal and shit like that. But I also wanted to be on the fucking show. And I don't know if I can say like I still am, but I used to be so good at that game where you choose the price of the shit that was at the grocery store. I don't know. It was absolutely a skill set that I possessed. I could tell you what the price with the actual retail cost or the actual retail value of the item. I could tell you, and I knew which one it was or which one it wasn't. wasn't as good with the that game where you had to name, like, move the numbers around for like the price of the car or for like the price of the vacation. That one I hated. I always hated the showcase at the end, because what the fuck do I know about going to Bali or Hawaii at like 12? I couldn't tell you how much it was. I had no fucking clue how much a vacuum cleaner was, or a boat, or a stereo system. So those kinds of things I never enjoyed. I did not enjoy that final segment of the show because I had no point of reference. But my end-all be-all game that I wanted to play was Plinko. I absolutely wanted to play Plinko. And so that's why I had that dilemma with, do you want to be on the show? And then also, if you get to be on the show, like, you get to shout out your people and shit. So I always wanted to shout out my grandparents. And also, I don't know if she ever did it, but I remember one of my line sisters, and shout out to us, Spring 05, the beautiful women of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. Congratulations to my sorors. We made 19 years. 19 years. So special love to us. Hey y'all, miss y'all. Can't wait to see yous. But I feel like either Joy did end up on The Price is Right, or we just kept saying that we were going to figure out our schedules and link up and go to The Price is Right and be on the show. And then we would go as like our line. And it was just like, oh, one of us is definitely going to get on the show if we all show up with power on. Yeah, it was, again, we took it like we were a little serious, not big serious, but a little serious about it. But Price is Right is always one of those shows that I wanted to be on. And I do not now, because Drew Carey just doesn't do it for me. The show is still cool. So I could see maybe being a contestant now with Drew Carey as the host, but not so much, you know, I'm one of Drew's beauties. It doesn't have the same ring to it, Mr. Carey. I'm sorry. But Bob Barker was the host from 1972 until he retired, I want to say, in 2007. Yes. The most notable Price is Right was Bob Barker. Faced the Price is Right since 72 revival until his retirement in 2007. He was replaced by Drew Carey, still the host today. Of all the longest running game shows of all time, The Price is Right has outlasted them all. So that was the number one show, 60 plus years. The number two show at over 56 years is De Chiffres et de Lettres. It's French. I've got no point of reference for French. What is almost the longest running game show of all time, the French show De Chiffres et des Lettres, has been on the air consistently since 1965. It translates to numbers and letters. And it puts contestants' knowledge of both subjects to the test. The show consists of multiple rounds that involve various challenges in mathematics, and spelling. Not for me. I can't spell to save my life. And if it has nothing to do with sale price or what I get back for change, you would think I couldn't add either. Numbers aren't my ministry. I read my ass off, but I can't spell. I don't understand. It's one of those things where they say reading helps you with spelling. I missed that boat. It just did not apply to me. Oddly enough, not oddly enough, but well, I won't say oddly enough, because this has seen multiple international versions since its creation, including a failed U.S. iteration from 1990 that never aired. Go figure. I guess I'm not the only person that's really shit with math and letters. So that's possibly why it didn't do so well. But over 56 years, I'm not sure if it is still running, but it seems like it has been, since it's been on air consistently since 1965. They haven't given an end date. So there's that on that. And then, of course, number three at 54 years, 54 plus years, one of and this was interesting to note. So there was a 1964 to 1979 window, and then it was rejuvenated in 1984 with our very good own Alex Trebek, Jeopardy. At 54 plus years, Jeopardy is not just is actually the world's most popular game show and is the third longest running game show. So it's still one of the most adored and longest running game shows of all time. A trivia game for the smartest of people. It also saw one of the longest running hosts in television history with the beloved Alex Trebek, who was the star of the show until his passing in 2020. It originally ran from 1964 to 79, but it wasn't until the 84 revival that the show started making an impact on audiences, likely thanks to Trebek's debut with the revamp. The show has featured new hosts since Trebek's passing, including Blossom star Mayim Bialik, I believe you pronounce it, and former champion Ken Jennings, who split the duties for a while after Alex Trebek's passing. Oh, here it is. Okay, so on that note of Alex Trebek being one of the longest standing hosts or one of the longest working hosts, hold on to your seats, because our good sis Vanna White and Pat Sajak, they run the record. They hold the record for longest running television show hosts of all motherfucking time. So put some respect on their names. While Wheel of Fortune isn't quite the longest running game show of all time, it has been on the air for over 48 years. And it's been consistent at 48 years, 1975 to present. And the game show or not, Pat Sajak and Vanna White hold the record for longest running television show host of all time, game show or not, at 39 years. So the longest running television show host of all time. Not necessarily like, because then you've got The View, you've got Oprah Winfrey, you've got Jerry Springer. So not just game show, but just television show, period. They are the longest standing hosts. With Wheel of Fortune still on the air, these two likely will continue to increase their record in the near future. It currently sits at over 7,000 episodes and counting, which is the most episodes any game show has ever seen. The show debuted in 75, but it took off in 82 when Sajak and White joined the team. According to these people, it's one of the easiest shows, game shows to play along with At Home, likely contributing to his continued success. Oh, I forgot about this part. What's in here? Pat Sajak will retire in 2024, and Ryan Seacrest will take over after that. I don't know what's going to happen to our good sis, Vanna, but I truly hope that Vanna is getting paid more than Ryan Seacrest, because Vanna made that show. Okay? And nobody coming in should make more than somebody who holds the record for being the longest standing host. And that is a petition I would motherfucking sign my name to. But there was something. Oh, again, I can't spell. I'm not a fan of Wheel of Fortune. I would never want to go on the show at all. I have no desire to ever play that game. Now, my grandparents always would watch it. 7 o'clock hits, we're watching Jeopardy, and then we're going to watch Wheel of Fortune. I was not the fan for Wheel of Fortune, but Jeopardy, I would go on. I would play Jeopardy. I don't think I would win. I'm pretty certain I wouldn't fucking win, especially for that last question. I never really get the last question. I think I've only gotten the last question right like a smattering of times, like a pinch, more than a pinch, but like a little, you know, like a pinch when you use all five fingers, that much of a pinch number of times. But the mother questions, I really be surprising myself. I get a lot more right in Jeopardy than I get in Wheel of Fortune. So I got to know my place. Jeopardy, I would absolutely go on. Am I going to rack shit up? Absolutely not, but I'm going to do it. So what was the next tangent I had? I did the longest running. I did the Sabado Gigante. I did Jeopardy. I did the locations. Ooh. So after we made that little distinction, there is an honorable mention that I want, well, two honorable mentions that I wanted to note before we start doing a little time travel. So one of the things that I had mentioned, well, back to the beginning when I mentioned that there were a lot of US spinoffs of those shows, a lot of those shows become franchises. And there was an interesting note, and I will include the link, in the description box. And let me make sure I save that now so that I don't lose it. It's in the Wikipedia definition of game show. if you do decide to look it up, I think it's down on the international issues section, where it seems like they're, it's a weird note about Canada. So a lot of the American game shows are open to Canadian participants, but Canada doesn't really seem to have like its own really lucrative, game show culture. They don't have like a lot of their own game shows. Alex Trebek was Canadian. Didn't know that. Monty Hall and Howie Mandel are also popular Canadians that hosted American game shows. And some guy, Jim Perry, is an American host, was prominent as a Canadian show host. That was a little fun note. But there is... So I have brought that up because a lot of the shows become franchises and they end up being popular in other countries. And in Nigeria, the... Now, I don't know when this list was done, but of the top three, it was Big Brother Naija, which used to be Big Brother Nigeria, but they changed the name to Big Brother Naija, and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, respectively, are the number one and then the number three show in Nigeria. The second show, I want to say, was a show, I guess you could say, similar-ish to the American Race, the Amazing Race, because it's people in the wild and their obstacles and challenges and stuff that they play throughout the game or whatever. But one and three, respectively, shows that we said, I think, were from... Were those UK shows? Big Brother was? No, Big Brother is Netherlands, and I do not think that Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is anything but good old American. At least it's not on the list that I have here as being a spinoff. So a lot of these shows end up franchises. One of my favorite franchises, as we jump to time traveling now, is one of... So I'd say that a good number of us, especially solo traveling women, are familiar with the reference to being called Carmen Sandiego, because we always someplace so elusive, always on the road, travel, right? But Carmen Sandiego was such a really bomb fucking franchise from the 90s. And I don't know if... I feel like y'all, we're around the same age. We're all kind of millennials and Gen X's. Maybe a couple of Gen Z's along for the ride. Chime in, pipe up, let me know who's here. But we're in Rose Carmen Sandiego. A good fucking time. I personally got into the computer game. I had Where in the U.S. is Carmen Sandiego and Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. Computer games were a thing. They were a good fucking time. I loved them, entertained hours with them things. Sadly, however, geography is still not my bag. But the show was also a really good time. There were like gumshoes and you were given a bunch of clues and there were like some reenactments and shit. It had such a fun feel to it. Shout out to Lynn Thigpen, who played the chief and was like, I say like the unofficial host of the show, I would say, but she had a pretty cool role in that show. And then that was like followed up. That was on, I think, PBS. And then I think Wishbone would come on after that, like during the week. That was a fun time. The cool kid lineup. There was so many really dope kid shows. And I gotta say, shout out to Nickelodeon and Disney Channel, because mostly Nickelodeon, I would say. I don't know what I was watching. I remember a clip from somewhere saying that like the peak audience for Nickelodeon was, I don't know if it was in the early 2000s. I feel like I remember it being like, oh, that seems a lot later than I expected. I expected like the peak Nickelodeon numbers to have been like maybe when it was the peak I was watching it. But then I realized like not everybody had cable probably in like the 90s. Whereas in the 2000s and like the mid 2000s, like the 2010s and stuff, cable in the home, I think, was like ubiquitous, more ubiquitous than it was in, say, the 80s and the 90s. but like peak viewership for Nickelodeon at some point, I feel like was 2 million or something, which to me sounds like, what? Like, that seems so fucking low. But again, I don't know what you, it's, again, it's kids, right? And you have generally multiple kids in a household that are going to be watching the one show, whereas adults in the household, I don't know that that's necessarily the same kind of patterns, right? Like, you may have, I don't know if it's like a demo thing or if it was just the era and the time for why the numbers seem so low. But also, I don't know what average numbers for any shows were at that point, but I remember that number seemed pretty low, but it was a big deal then. And currently, I think like the viewership on shows on Nickelodeon is like in, I think they said something like 200,000 or something. YouTube videos get more than that in a fucking sitting, you know? But there was a ton of kids content. And as a tangent here, this goes back to like the Third Spaces conversation. I feel like there has been a large shift in things that are produced and marketed specifically for teens, preteens, and children. There used to be content specific for young people when I was young. Now, I don't have any kids, and I'm not necessarily discussing like television and shit with the young people in my life. So I'm by no stretch of the imagination historian or a resolute source for this kind of information. But even if you think back on like things like, look at the stores. We used to have 579, Contempo. I think Journeys is still a thing. But there used to be so like TikTok. There used to be Strawberries, like stores just for juniors, stores that had like more age appropriate. Well, Strawberry was a little like, I was a little more grown when I was in Strawberry. Like, Strawberry was like college and like late high school and like early college. But there used to be like stores for especially little girls to shop in so that like you still had cute shit. But like the Delia's, I just saw a reel that I posted on my stories today. The clothes now are the exact, like, the same fucking clothes from the Delia's catalogs in 95. Like, the wide leg pants, the florally dresses with spaghetti straps, like, the A-cut dresses with, and then, like, the necklaces that are all, like, that translucent plastic, like, string, and then, like, the little beads and accessories are along it, like, I don't even, they might even have the butterfly clips back. But like all the shit that we were wearing and buying and stuff in like the catalogs, that was for like a certain demo. That was for like the, I'd say 8 to 20, 22 maybe demo. It feels more like that. But it was marketed specifically to there. You had some of the older girls, like the teens and like the 20s who like would wear some of it. Like they would still wear a lot of the same shit, but it just does not feel like shows and stores are marketed to kids any fucking more. I hope I'm wrong, but I mean, we had, here we go, Wild and Crazy Kids, Figure It Out. Oh, what was his name? I started writing it down, Mike something. But then you also had like Mark Summers. They used to host Double Dare, Family Double Dare. He also did that show, What Would You Do? Guts, Legends of the Hidden Temple. You could not tell me that I could not go on that show and fuck it up. There was also a Legends of the Hidden Temple? No, it was Guts. I'm pretty sure it was Guts, but there was like an international episode that I came across where they had a kid from Israel, a kid from this country. It was like the United States, the United Continents, or the United Areas of so-and-so. It was some country I never heard of. And then this girl, Kelly, from shit, I don't know, fucking Ireland. But these three kids competed through, you know, the guts final thing. Like, you had the different stages. Don't get me wrong. Like, there were the four or five different little games that they competed in. But that little nigga from Israel blew all of them out the way. He won all of them and then won the last one. But that was fucking cool. Even as a kid, there was some type of an international organization for even like the kids shows. Me, like, and my peers, my friends in school, like, we would talk about like, oh, you could never do this, you could do that. I swore that I, especially in Legends of the Hidden Temple, I feel like a lot of these kids were just fucking whack. Like, do you not move on a regular basis? Like, why are you so slow? Why is climbing like this rock wall so difficult for you? There are like boxes, like there is a literal stairway. It always seemed like the kids that they chose, some of them were like so fucking trash. So that was always a show that I wanted to compete on. Wild and Crazy Kids, not so much. I was just saying to my partner earlier today, Family Double Dare, we're not doing it because we got loose ends in my family. My dad is just not that kind of guy. And my mom would be down to do it. I feel like my mom would have played with us. Now, which was wild because my dad used to be for all of our hijinks in the house. But I do not see my dad, me now, the adult, I don't think my dad would go on that show and play no fucking games. My mom, on the other hand, my mom was a teacher. So she's kind of down with the whole, all right, like, let's play with kids. We get down on the floor. We sit and read. And so I can see my mom kind of like giving in. And I have always been competitive. And I just feel like my dad would let us down on the game. So I feel like Family Double Dare, absolutely not. Speaking of family, even shit like Family Feud. I am very good at Family Feud. I just really don't know. Like, okay, Brandy, absolutely on my team. My brother's on my shit list right now, but he would absolutely be on the team. We used to be such a good team in Taboo. When we would play against people in Taboo, you weren't seeing us. You fucking weren't seeing us. We were always going to win. So I feel like my mom, Brandy, my brother, how many people's on Family Feud? It's like four or five people on Family Feud. And then Jake, my boyfriend, like, okay, so Family Feud is right there. But like, I'm really good with that. Jeopardy was my shit. Deal or No Deal, it would be a little dicey because I'm very indecisive. Shit like Wheel of Fortune, already talked about it. Cash Cab, I was with the shits. Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Y'all remember that one? That one used to be so like, oof, am I supposed to know that? I really am. But Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego was one of those shows as a kid that I can't personally say led me to the life of travel that I have now, but it was such a great memory from being a kid. And a final, where was it? Was it here? I survived a Japanese game show. That was an interesting one. So it is a Japanese game show. The Japanese game show is a distinct format borrowing heavily from variety formats, physical stunts, and athletic competitions. The Japanese style has been adapted overseas and at one point was parodied with an American reality competition, I Survived a Japanese Game Show, which used a fake Japanese game show as its central conceit. So I looked into that one, and apparently they, like, the host would show up to like people's houses and then announce them like, you're going to Japan, and they would go over there to compete in the Japanese game show. So it says the show followed a group of Americans, and it was first season. I think it only had one or two seasons, but it premiered on ABC on June of 2008. And it showed a group of Americans who would leave the United States for Japan, where they competed in a Japanese style game show. Also reminds me of one episode of Supernatural where they were trying to stop the trickster. And they ended up being like transported into a bunch of like fake worlds. And one of them was a Japanese style game show, which hilarious. But yeah, so a very specific type of show where there is a lot of athletic and physicality and physical stunts, where you're like, it's kind of like a Nickelodeon show, like what was it? Was it Figure It Out? What was that show? There was one show. I watched a couple of clips. That was actually a pretty fun time. What was that girl's name? Where is it? Was it not Figure It Out? But let me see if I can find it. Not What Would You Do? Oh, I think I closed it. Damn. I saved it someplace. But it was a show like where they would have, it was a game show, but had the aspect of a variety show where you had like Michelle Trachtenberg from Harriet the Spy, Lori Beth Denberg from All That, the kid Pete from Pete and Pete. I forgot what that kid's name was. Like, so you had characters from the popular shows who would be contestants, like the celebrity on the show, that would like guess what, shit, what is the name of that show? It is right on the tip of my tongue. But it was a really fun one where they had the kid, like the girl invented edible taco tape. And it's similar to another game show, but it's obviously in this instance for kids. But I thought the shit was so fucking fun as a kid. But you have stuff like, okay, this is wrapping it up. Because, again, I like to remind y'all every week, travel is so much more than vacation. And sometimes you ain't got to go nowhere to go no place. And this is a really fun travel down memory lane for me. And also with the tie-in that a lot of the shit that we enjoy here isn't necessarily from here. It was originated someplace else. So consider going someplace else and stepping into other cultures and realizing that a lot of the things between us are very similar. We're interested in the same things. We're competitive people and we all want to win big money, cash prize. Spin the wheel, right? All right. So the 25 best TV game shows of all time. Supermarket Sweep was at the top. The bottom. 25. 24 is You Bet Your Life. And we got Concentration, Win Ben Stein's. That was a fun one also. I remember that one. Win Ben Stein's Money actually also was co-hosted by Jimmy Kimmel for the first 3 years. And they won a couple of daytime Emmys. The show itself was nominated each year except for the last, which ended in 2003, I want to say. It ran on Comedy Central from 1997 to 2003, and was infused with humor including punny category titles. And a dunce cap for anyone who accidentally answered in the form of a question. That was a fun one. They won a couple of Emmys for that. Name That Tune. I know that there has been a revamp and, yes, modern day version on Fox. I want to say, I thought Jamie Foxx was hosting that one, but Kathy Lee Johnson Gifford actually used to be a vocalist that used to, I guess, sing a few notes with a little band or whatever. But Name That Tune is number 21. Tic-Tac-Doe, never familiar. The Newlywed Game, I do enjoy watching old clips of that. There's actually this really cute couple, black and white couple. They were actually on Tamron Hall show, but I remember seeing them on TikTok. I cannot remember their names, but they're probably 60s, late 60s, maybe early 70s. Really adorable interracial couple. And they were on the Newlywed Game. And when I tell you, the wife is so, so freaking adorable. And they are so cute together. And the way they answer each other's questions is, I just think it's a really cute, quirky game. And it's cute people. It's like young kids and just newlywed people. Dating Game. I feel like The Dating Game was the show that had one of them serial killers on it. I don't know if it was Ted Bundy or Dahmer, but one of the guys ended up being on the game show. They conveniently left that out. Cash Cab, another fun one. I remember that from the... Okay, here we go. During its original run from 2005 to 2012. So it was the earliest 2000s. Won 3 daytime Emmys, and Bailey won 3 for hosting. Ben Bailey. He was the host, a comedian and licensed taxi cab driver. Double Dare, hosted by Mark Summers. That was like its own franchise. There were a ton of those. Tattletales, not familiar. What's My Line? Didn't get into it. Whose Line Is It Anyway? However, that show I did enjoy, but I wouldn't really say that that was like a game show. Car Charts, not familiar. Pressure Luck, unfamiliar. To Tell the Truth, vaguely familiar, but didn't really get into it. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Again, also a fun note. I don't think it's in this one, but it was very prominently featured in Slumdog Millionaire. Because remember, the character, I want to say, won the game. But again, it goes to shows that are popular in a lot of places that become franchises because something about the show, something about a game show and that format is quite universally interesting to a lot of different demographics. And I think that that's one of those things that if nothing else, you go to a bar, ask somebody what game shows they watch. Wheel of Fortune, that's number 9. Let's Make a Deal, number 8. Now, I'm not familiar with Let's Make a Deal. I've only seen the show once. And shout out to Wayne Brady, who is hosting the current incarnation since 2009. And he won the 2018 Emmy for Best Game Show Host. So congratulations to him. I'm not really that into it. But what's this one? Hollywood Squares. I could never get into that one. Also, Password. Unfamiliar. Pyramid. Couldn't get into Pyramid. I've seen it. I've tried to. Never got into it. Match Game. Never got into it. And then Family Feud. Rounds out the top at number 3. One, survey says, shout out to Steve Harvey. Not necessarily a fan of him personally, but the man works. The man works, and some of the shit he has done, I fuck with. Family Feud being one of them. The Price is Right. Come on down. Our man Bob Barker. And then the number one show. The greatest game show of all time. What is Jeopardy? Here it is. 39. Okay. Winning a record 39 Daytime Emmy Awards, as well as the prestigious Peabody Award. Jeopardy also holds the record for most Emmy wins at 17, and 37 nominations for Best Game Show, and beloved host Alex Trebek holds the record for Best Host nominations at an outstanding 31 with 7 wins. The show has become so ingrained in popular culture that contestants on other quiz shows have answered in the form of a question, at which time the host usually humorously points out that they aren't playing Jeopardy. I had a fun little trip down memory lane with that one. Also, was very surprised to see how global game shows actually are. Hope you guys enjoyed this week. I am going to have some tea, take my ass to sleep, and I will see you guys hopefully germ-free next week. Bye!